know. And you're sitting there and you're listening to people, and I don't know if you've listened to any of it, but if you listen to any of it, everything you eat is bad for you, you know, depending on which side you're listening to, okay? And so what I've been doing is I said, Father, you got to show me, you know what I mean? I can take in the information and I listen to things and all that. But with me, it's like, okay, Father, what, I want what you want. I want to know what you know, amen? I want your mind, your heart on things, you know? And that's why with me, when it comes outside of the Word, it gets outside of the Word, I don't want to be dogmatic because I can find out I'm wrong, okay? Because things change and stuff changes and information changes and all those things. But I want to know God's way and God's will in my life when it comes to finances, when it comes to my health, when it comes to how to treat my wife. I want God's way. I don't want the world. The world is they've lost it. And I don't want that. I want what God wants. And you know what? Even though I've been raised in church my whole life, you find out that you believe some things. When you study the Bible and you begin to really study the Bible, you find out some of the things that you believed wasn't exactly accurate, you know? And so, you, and I don't want to be, I don't want to turn on the people that taught me or was it, because I don't think they were malicious or they were doing it intentionally or whatever. I think they were passing on what they heard, okay? But I want to be, what Paul said, I want to study to show myself approved, amen? A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want to study enough to know the truth. And Monday we had I had a young guy came by the, I was walking before I could come into the office, and he stopped by, and he was anyway, I prayed with him to accept Jesus into his life. And in the last few days I've met with him a couple of times, and we talked about the Lord, and we, you know, I've tried to share with him you know, the word, and try to encourage him to make good decisions and all that. But the main thing that I let him know, and I would let you know, is that your life is going to be what you and God make it. Not what you and anybody else. I mean, nobody else is going to do it. It's going to be you and God. You and God. And don't misunderstand me. There's people in my life that I've heard preach that I love, and I appreciate them so much. And I appreciate the truths they taught me, and I appreciate all of them. But nothing, there's no truth out there that's going to help you if it don't become your truth. It has to become yours. And so I just tried to get it to him. You know what? You got areas in your life where you really need huge change. And I'm like the old timers, you know, castor oil fixed everything. Well, I'm one of those. Jesus fixes everything. Okay, that's my castor oil. Jesus can fix everything. Amen. But you have to accept his word on it. And one thing I've learned is a lot of us are wanting the shortcut to the blessing, or the shortcut to the deliverance, or the shortcut. And the truth of it is, there is no shortcuts. There can be relief. You can get a relief. But most of the time, you're going to have to get in the word, find out what Jesus says about it, and let that truth become your truth. And that's what will change your life and the situation of your life. And don't misunderstand me. I believe God can bring a deliverance into your life instantly. But if you don't renew your mind, you'll probably find yourself back in the bondage. Because whatever you did to get you in the bondage in the first place, if you don't change, you're probably going to get yourself back in it. So we want to know how God feels about it. And so I was talking about God's attitude towards wealth. Amen. And I want to go back to Genesis 1, and then we're going to go read some scriptures in the New Testament. Last week, I kind of shared quite a few scriptures out of the Old Testament. But as New Testament believers, we want to receive in our life what God has for us. Well, how do we do that? Okay. But in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says this. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. And God blessed them. Now, God blessed them. Now, I want you to think of this. God empowered them. Amen? He empowered them to be successful. Okay? It says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. So what I hear there is God made man, and then he blessed man, and then he gave us a commission to be fruitful, to be fruitful in our lives. And I believe that God wants us as people to be fruitful. And, you know, God don't want me to imitate someone else's fruitfulness. He wants me to be fruitful for the life that he's given me. One of the most carnal things anybody can do is compare themselves to other people. That's the work of the flesh, to emulate and try to be like other people. God don't want you to be like other people. He wants you to be you, and he has a place for you, and he wants to bless you. And you know what's neat about the kingdom of God is if Tom enters into everything God has for him, that will not keep, you know, Brother Reuben from entering into everything God has for him. There's plenty of the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow for all of us. We don't have to be worried. God isn't the pie chart, you know. You get your portion and you get your, no, God's got plenty of the blessing of God for all of us. And so we want to get it down in our spirit that God wants, that God has blessed us. Amen? God has empowered you to be successful for the life he's called you to live. Amen? And so I believe that I'm blessed by the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes rich and does what? And adds no sorrow. Amen? If your pursuit in life is adding sorrow to your life, you might want to rethink that. Because the Bible says the blessing of the Lord, he makes rich, but he adds no sorrow. Amen? And so if you're getting ahead keeps you looking over your shoulder, you're doing something that ain't right. Okay? God wants you to enjoy the blessing of the Lord. And so he said, I bless you, and I want you to be fruitful. Amen? Well, me personally, I believe the fruitfulness that God is calling us to is the fruitfulness of the manifestation of his word in my life. Amen? Whatever's in the word, okay? The Bible said the sower went out to sow, and he sowed the word. And the word was sown into hearts. And some hearts had stones in them, right? And some hearts were hard paths. And some hearts were filled with weed and tares. And some hearts, you know, the enemy came immediately and stole the word. But it also says that some of it found a good and honest heart. And when it did, it produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold in that person's life. So for the fruitful of my life will come out of the word of God that is sown into my heart that I protect, and I keep it protected so that it can grow up in me and produce in my life. And I'm not much of a gardener. In fact, I told Sandy this year, I said, I'm not growing anything. I spend more water, I pay for more water than I get anything out of it. So there's what little bit of vegetables I'm going to eat, I'll buy. You know, because first of all, I'm not going to eat a lot of them. And the ones I'll just buy the ones I can. Okay, I'll just go down to the store and get them. And if they don't have the one I want, I'll live without. You know, it's just not that big a deal to me. Okay, but my thing is this: I want a manifestation of the Word of God in my life. So I have to plant the Word in my heart. I have to protect it so it'll grow up. But I don't want the plant. I want the fruit, right? I said this before many times. I don't want the seed. I want what's in the seed. Now, when I say I don't want the seed, the word says I'm healed. That's a wonderful thing. But I want the healing. You understand what I'm saying? The word says, you know, that he gave me a sound mind. Well, that's nice, but I want the sound mind. You know what I'm saying? I don't want just the seed. I want it to grow in me to become what God said it would be. Amen? So he said, I bless you, and I want you to be fruitful. Now, let's go over to 3 John, and we've read this many times, but it's all right. We'll read it again. I figure if God puts it in the Bible, it can be read more than one time. But in 3 John and verse 2, I want to start right there. It says, Beloved, I pray that you may, what? Anybody, you're not there yet? That you may prosper. Amen? And the word prosper means to help on the road. In other words, John was saying here, I want you to prosper. I want you to have everything you need on your journey. And that's what he's saying. I want you to have everything you need on your journey. And I'm assuming that your journey is God's will for your life, right? In my prayer time, one of the scriptures that I pray almost every time is, Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord and his ways are pleasing. Amen? So I'm believing that my steps are ordered by God. So I'm going to, and then I said, and you lead me in the way of righteousness for your name's sake. Amen? And then he says, I will open unto you the gates of righteousness and I'm going to walk through them. Amen? The Bible says that all things work together for the good of those who love him and that are called according to his purpose. So what am I doing? I'm not only planting that seed in my heart, I'm guarding that seed, I'm watering that seed, and I'm expecting manifestation of that seed. Amen? So I'm on the journey that God has me on. Well, he said he wanted me to prosper. He wanted me to prosper on that journey. Amen? And so God wants you and me to prosper on our journey. He said, I pray that you may prosper in all things. And I don't think the word all things can be too confusing. Or shouldn't be. All things mean all things to me. Okay? And it says, and be in health. And I thank God for good health. Just as your soul prospers. So it's connected to the prosperity of my soul. For I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. And what? Just as you walk in the truth. So he was saying, it's not just the truth that's in you, it's the truth you walk in. And I really believe that the blessing of the Lord in my life is manifested through the truth that I walk in. You can't say, well, I know the Bible says that, but, and then expect the blessing of the Lord on your life. Because anytime there's nothing more arrogant than to know God's word and not do it. Because when you do that, you're telling God you know better than he does. I'm smarter than you. I know how the future is going to be. You know, when Saul didn't kill Agag and the Amalekites, and Samuel showed up and Saul tried to say, hey, I did what the Lord said. And Samuel said, then why do I hear the sheep? And why do I hear the cows? And then Samuel said to him, he said, obedience is better than your sacrifice, and it's as the spirit of witchcraft. Well, if you look up the word, it's the spirit of fortune telling. When we disobey God, we're fortune telling. We're saying it's going to turn out this way, even though God said it's not. We're projecting how it's going to turn out when we don't even know what's going to happen in the next minute. When God tells me to do something, it's because he knows the beginning from the end. It's because he knows everything in between. Amen? And so as I walk down my road, my journey, and I walk in his truth, I don't just know his truth, I'm walking in his truth. It's going to cause me to prosper in my soul, and out of my prosperity of my soul is going to bring the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow. Amen? And so it says, brethren, I testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. And it says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And so that's so important that we get that down. What did Jesus tell us in the 8th chapter of John? He said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free, set you free, bring freedom to your life. And I think one of the greatest things that any of us can have in our life is freedom. Amen? Freedom from fear, freedom from anxiety, freedom from jealousy, freedom from insecurities, freedom, and I thank God for freedom. So to start out with, God wants me to prosper. He wants me to be in health. Amen? And so I take that scripture and I'm going to believe it. Go over to John chapter 10. And let's look at verse 9. John 10 and verse 9. So he says, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in health as your soul prospers. You know, when we get born again, our spirit man is born again. But you have a soul, which is your mind, your emotions, and your will, right? That's that part of you. When you renew your mind and your mind harmonizes with your recreated spirit, that's when things take place in your life. That's when it happens. When you bring your thoughts and your confession in line with your spirit, and which is in line with God, that's when things happen in your life. We all get thoughts that are inconsistent. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'll back that up. I don't know everybody. I get thoughts that are not always consistent with God's word. Okay. So I've learned over the years to take the word of God and make my thought line up with the word. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity. When the report comes, everybody's catching this, that's when I say, and my mind thinks, man, I better not. No, he said that if I would shelter under his shadow, that no plague would come near me, his angels encamp around me, he said that I'm healed by the stripes on you. What am I doing? I'm casting down that negative thought and I'm replacing it with God's word. Amen? Well, that takes effort. Have you ever started thinking about something and then find yourself, you know, you think on it for quite a while and you find yourself way down this road? I've done that where I'm just way down this road and it's like, what are you doing, Dennis? Stop. Get back. Get back to the word. Get back to the truth and walk in the truth. But in John 10, 9, it says, Jesus is speaking, says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, amen, and that they may have it how? More abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Now think about that. Now, I think he could have just said, it says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it abundantly. That wouldn't have been bad, but he said more abundantly. He's saying it. So I want to get that mindset about me. God has blessed me. God wants me to be prosperous. I mean, he wants me to be fruitful. And then he wants me to prosper in my soul. He wants me to prosper in my health. He wants me to prosper in all things. I want to get this down in my spirit. I want to think God's ways. I want to think God's thoughts. And then he says, I've come to give you life, and I've come to give it to you more abundantly. That's how I want to think. God wants me to have more abundant life. He wants me to have it in abundance. Could I get that in the Amplified, please? And so we want to get that down in our spirit. So if I have lack, in an area of my life, I consider that inconsistent with God. Or let me put it, inconsistent with God's will. Okay. Now, I'm not saying there hasn't been times in my life when I didn't have lack. I'm just saying when I was in that, I was thinking, this isn't from God. This isn't what God wants. Amen? See, and I think one of the strengths that I've had over the years is I'm not afraid to admit that I'm imperfect. So when I don't hit the mark perfect, I don't say to God, God, why don't you? No, I look in the mirror and say, hey, Dennis, you can do better. Now, it's not a condemnation thing with me. I don't feel bad. I don't beat myself down. It's just I know me, and I know that I can be better. I can do better. I can. It's not like I can be better as trying to earn a righteousness. It's just I can do better. I can know the word better. I can catch my thoughts quicker. There's room for improvement. That's all. And so it's never like I look at God and say, God, why have you? No, I look at me and say, Dennis, you know? I mean, I do that in about everything. You know, I can work out and think, man, I should have done one more rep there, or I should have done this there. You know, because I'm not like you. I'm imperfect. I don't always put 100% into everything. That's why when we sing songs like, you know, I give you everything, I'm telling you, everything? You know? I mean, I gave God everything. I have nothing in my life that I couldn't do better or be. I think there's room to grow. And I'm grateful for His grace. I'm grateful for His mercy. I'm grateful for all of those things. But when something don't go the way I think, I'm going to back up. I'm not going to turn on God. I'm going to say, okay. I can grow in my faith. I can grow in the things of God. And that's what I'm going to do. And I believe with all my heart, if I just keep doing things God's way, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be bigger than that problem. I'm going to be bigger than that situation. I'm going to win that. Amen? Because I don't know about you, the fruit of God is just that. It's fruit, and fruit grows. Right? Seeds turn into stalks, and stalks turn into ears of corn. And you know what I'm saying? It's a process. And we don't like process. We want instant. I mean, when you pull up to McDonald's and order the Big Mac now and the fries, $18. I'm sorry, friend. I can cook my own hamburger for that. You know, you can go sit down at a restaurant and eat for that. You know, it's like, I don't want, but we want things now. What you're paying for is convenience. See, because we want everything now. Well, the kingdom of God is not like that. You grow in the things of God. You grow in your walk with God. But he said here, it says, I am the door. Anyone who enters in through me will be saved, will live. He will come in and he will go out freely and find pasture, which, you know, my cows know what pasture is, and they get pretty excited about it. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and destroy. I come that they may have and enjoy life. There's too many believers that's not enjoying life. He says that they might enjoy life and have it in abundance, and I like this, to the full until it overflows. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, Pastor, I'm not really enjoying life right now, and I'm not to the place of full until the overflow. I understand that. I've been there. But you know what? You got to get a mindset that that's where God wants you to be if you will ever get there. Because faith is where how we get where we go, our confidence and our trust in God. Amen? So I'm going to believe that God wants me to prosper and wants me to be in health, even as my soul prospers. I'm going to believe that Jesus came to give me life and to give it to me more abundantly. That's what I'm going to believe. So if I have an area of my life that I'm not enjoying and that I'm not having then I'm not going to say, well, I guess God didn't mean that. I'm going to say, no, I'm going to sow God's word in my life, in that area of my life, and that area of my life is going to change. If I have a health issue, I'm going to pray, I'm going to confess, I'm going to read, every scripture I can find on healing, on health, on feeling good, on how it's God's will. If I'm having financial problems, I'm going to find every scripture I can that promises me to prosper, promises me, and it's like my brother Dean, you know, wanting a job, needing a job right now. I'd be finding the scriptures that talk about favor. I'd be finding the scriptures that wherever I'd be praying, everywhere I go, Father, there's favor waiting for me. People are looking for me. They're ready for me to show up and believe that I'm going to find favor. I'm going to find favor in God. I was out looking for a job one time, and I was in Hanford, which maybe you know, anybody knows where that is, but I was in Hanford. And I went to a big drilling company over there called American Drilling. And I went over there to apply for a job. Well, I got over there, and the guy, and it was funny because he invited me in and interviewed me and everything. And then he said to me, he goes, you know, really, I don't have a position right now, but I know a company. And so he called CalWest Rain, which is the company hired me, and was the best secular job I ever had. But when I walked into American Drilling, I expected favor. I expected money. And just because they didn't have it, somebody else had it, and he got me. And I didn't. I just drove across town, down to Kerman, went in there and interviewed. And next thing you know, I walked out of there with the best job I'd ever had. Because I'm believing I'm going to have favor. The favor of the Lord is upon me. God blesses my life. When I pull up to a store and I get the parking spot I want, thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to be grateful for what God's blessed my life with. If I can't be thankful for the little things, I won't be thankful for the big things. So I want to just learn to be thankful, amen, for the good things of God. And so he wants me to prosper. He wants me to live in abundance. See, and I'm not coming, that's the Bible. Jesus said he came to give us life and give it to us. Now, we don't want to be ignorant. He also warned us that there's an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy you. You know the number one way that Satan steals, kills, and destroys our life is out of our ignorance. Out of our spiritual and biblical ignorance. Because when we're ignorant to the things of God, when the enemy shows up, we don't respond correctly. No, stop. I mean, when I was sharing with that young guy this week, I said, what you got to do is you got to get enough word in you so when the enemy shows up and says you're a failure, you can say what God says about you instead of saying what the devil says about you or what you heard your parents say. I mean, when I was a little kid growing up, I wouldn't follow through on things, you know, or I'd go out and turn the water on for the horse and walk away. Next thing you know, I got water everywhere. I do that once in a while now, too. But as a kid, my dad used to say to me, he'd say, you're so scatterbrained. To this day, I hear him say that. You're so scatterbrained. And when I do something that I think I shouldn't have done that, I hear my dad, you're scatterbrained. See, because the enemy, and don't misunderstand me, my dad didn't mean anything evil by it. But we say things and we hear things and stuff gets in us. And if we're not careful, we repeat those same things to us. We say those same things. You're so, you're so, you're so. And that's why it's so important that when we raise our children, you know, to speak life over them. But you got to speak life over yourself. I said, I'm not a scatterbrain, you know. And then it's so funny when you forget something and you're young, it's because you're young. And when you forget something when you're old, it's because you're old. But the truth of it, you forgot it because you're human. Yeah. That's the truth. But see, they've sowed that into us. Well, you know, your memory's not what it used to be. You know, you're a certain age, so you're not as shy. Who said that? Who are they? I don't read that in the Bible. The Bible says to renew your mind. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I got a sound mind. I'm believing to live out my days and be sharp-witted and still can insult you even when I'm older. I want to be able to do it God's way. I mean, I want to have a sharp mind. So I'm going to believe for one. I'm going to confess for one. And I'm going to believe that God's going to keep my mind. You know, and so we got to just not agree with the enemy, right? All right. Go over to John 15. John chapter 15. So, you know, I'm going to give you the key here to being fruitful. God wants us fruitful. Now, He wants me to have abundant life. And now, personally, I don't believe I can live an abundant life if my life isn't fruitful. If I have good husband fruit, it's going to make my marriage better. Can you understand what I'm trying to say there? If I have good parenting fruit, then I'll have a better relationship with my kids. If I have better, you know, health fruit or whatever it is, I want to produce in my life a fruitful life of the fruit that's of God. Amen? And that's, I heard this years ago, and it just stuck to me. A man said this, and he said, do what's right and do it right. And when he said that, it struck my spirit. And it made me look at life totally different in that time. This was years ago. And that was this. Whenever I look at something to do something, am I doing what's right? And he said, don't only just do what's right, but do it right. Because you can do stuff but kind of slop through it. You understand? You can do the right thing but not do it with any excellence. And what I heard was, do what's right and do it excellent. And I felt like what he was saying to me was, if you'll do what's right and you do it with excellence, it's going to produce in your life. Amen. And so I want to do it. I don't want to just do it. I want to do what's right, but I want to do it with excellence. In John 15 and verse 1, it says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So there's something here that we want to see. Is God expects us to be fruitful. Amen? And he says, if you're fruitful, I'm going to prune you. Well, I don't think that pruning per se is comfortable. Right? You know, you get a tree. We got a walnut tree. We got a couple of them. And I noticed that I got some dead branches on the walnut tree. And really, those dead branches ought to be cut off because they don't produce anything, right? And if we're not careful, we have branches, if you would, in our life that's not producing anything or producing something that's not exactly what it's supposed to be. Amen? So he says, if you're fruitful, I'm going to prune you. I'm going to prune you for purpose. You know, one of the things we got to get down in our spirit is God prunes for purpose. In other words, he prunes me so I will be more fruitful. Amen? So apparently, not only does God want me to be fruitful, he wants me to be more fruitful. And to be more fruitful means he's going to have to prune me, which to me is taking out of my life the things that's hindering my fruitfulness. Can you receive that? Okay? Now, he says... He says, bear fruit, branch that bears fruit. He prunes that it may bear more fruit. It says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, listen careful. Don't bear church fruit, bear Jesus fruit. You know, you can know how to go to church. You can know how to sit in the pew. You can know how to act the right way. You can know how to do all these things. But when you leave there, are you producing the fruit of Jesus? Right? So he said, and the only way to do that is for me to stay abiding in him, right? I don't come to church and then leave here and lay down my Christianity, right? Now, I think I'm jaded. Well, John tells me I am. And he's probably right. He's known me forever. But I don't think God is near as sensitive as all of you are. God's not easily offended. He's not all touchy-feely all the time. That's not God. And a lot of times we get that way. We get that way with people, and we get that way. And somebody will say something, do something, and all of a sudden we're, you know. And the truth of it is, you need to be so confident in who you are in Christ that everybody doesn't bother you. You know who you are. And it's so funny to me that the more you are confident in who you are, people will think you're prideful. I get bragging on Jesus and someone will come along and say, you have too much pride. Friend, I know what I am without Jesus, so there ain't no room for pride. But I'm not ashamed of who I am in Jesus. And I'm not ashamed of who Jesus is making me. And it's so interesting to me that when you say things like, God always blesses me, and there's always, who do you think you are? Or you tell about a blessing in your life. I mean, Sandy and I, and you've heard my stories, but, you know, when we got married, we had nothing. I mean, we had a lot of nothing, and we had debt, and we had, I mean, that I brought, okay? But the thing is, we couldn't, you know, we'd go buy groceries, and, you know, we had to buy groceries for the week that had to be figured out. I mean, as we were buying the groceries, Sandy was adding it up, because we only had so much. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. And we had to, and then we'd stop. We couldn't always get what we wanted because we just ran out of money. And me being who I am, I don't want to get up there and check out and them tell me how much it is and I don't have it. I mean, maybe that is pride. I don't know. But I don't want the embarrassment of it, okay? So we'd figure it out before we got up there and made sure we had enough to cover everything. See, now we go, and I'll ask, she'll bring something, I'll ask, hey, Sandy, pick me up this. And she'll come home and I'll say, what'd that cost? She goes, I don't know. Now, you can say what you want, but that's the blessing of the Lord on my life. There was a time we couldn't have done that. We had to know every penny, everything. And it didn't happen overnight. We've been pastoring for 41 years. And that don't count the year and a half we preached out. That's just pastoring. We started pastoring, I believe it was in August 1983. So we've been doing this a long time. And when we first started, you know, and you know what? I was so happy to be in the ministry. I was so happy to be doing the things of God. I didn't know it was hard. And you know what? When we were counting our pennies and we were watching everything, anybody know, I mean, we lived there on Bear Valley Road there in Kiowa, and Bear Valley Road in Apple Valley. And they built a Little Caesar's Pizza across the parking lot, across the it was a field between the apartment complex, the two-bedroom apartment complex that we were living in with three kids. Okay? And they built a Little Caesar's Pizza across there. You could get a Little Caesar's Pizza back in the olden days for $5. We thought we was in Talcott. We could walk across there and get a Little Caesar's Pizza for $5. And that was a splurge. But no matter what, I believed that God wanted me to be blessed. He wanted me to prosper. And you got to get the things of God. And before you get it out here, you got to get it in here. You know why a lot of people can never get healed? they keep waiting for it to come from out there, when the truth of it is God's Spirit's inside of you. He heals you from the inside out, not from the outside in. Because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And he's saying if he can raise something from the dead, he can surely heal your body. So we got to, but you got to get that down in your spirit, down in your heart. And so we want the fruitfulness of the kingdom in our lives, amen? But he says the way it happens is you got to abide in him. Now, this is an agricultural thing. So what he's really saying is you got to stay attached, right? Have you ever cut off a branch? And you cut a branch off a tree, and when it first hits there, it still looks like it's alive, right? It's got leaves, it's got everything, but you leave it disconnected from that tree or whatever it is, and within time, it don't take long, them old things, they start withering away, and they start doing, and I don't know, a lot of us, you know, we're not very good at the whole raising plants, so we go buy plastic plants. Well, I think there's a lot of Christians whose lives are just plastic plants. It looks good, but it's not alive. It's not real. I don't want that. He said, abide in, stay connected to me. Stay connected to me. And we do that through our by keeping our relationship with him up to date. Amen. We stay caught up with him. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. And we know what he's talking about for the kingdom of God. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burnt. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. And it shall be done for you. Now listen to this. For this, by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So will you be my disciple. And now, verse 7 is just seems too good to be true. He says, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you. Are you abiding in Christ? I would say everybody in this room is. But there's two parts to that scripture, isn't it? He said, if you abide in me and my word abides in you. It could be a low word level that's keeping us from receiving from God what he wants us to have. So he said, and my word abides in you. In you. He says, then you can ask what you desire. Now, did you notice he said what you desire? He didn't say what he desired. And you know what? I've found people that say, well, I don't know. I wouldn't want to ask for the wrong thing. Why would you do that? You missed it. He said, if you abide in him, if his word abides in you, you won't ask for the wrong thing. You won't ask for the wrong thing. So just God, and he said that God's glorified when we bear much fruit. I believe the more your life reveals the kingdom of God, the greater glory and pleasure you bring to God. You know, let's just pretend that 1 John is true. He said, for this purpose I came, that Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Did Jesus come? He did. If he came, he destroyed the works of the devil. Then how come there's so many works of the devil? How come there's so many works of the devil in the lives of believers? They're not, it's the word. You got to abide in him. It's not earning nothing. It's not earning anything. It's faith. But faith only comes one way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you got to abide in the Word. Amen? When symptoms show up, instead of talking the symptoms, talk the Word. I have a sister, I don't care what happens, man, she's on the internet. Find out what it says and find out what home remedy works and find out if she would get in the Word like that. You know, when we're diagnosed with something, I found out people will learn more about the sickness than they'll learn about the Word of God. Friend, I'm not, you do what you want. I'm just saying, I don't have to pronounce it correctly to be healed from it. I don't have to know everything about it and exactly how it works for God to heal me. I know this, I don't want it. And He bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases, and by His stripes I'm healed. I sit there and listen to, if you watch Fox News, you get a bunch of old people commercials, medications and stuff like that. You just, whatever you watch, you pay attention. They got commercials they're trying to peddle to you or whoever you are. And they'll talk about diseases and they'll talk about it. I've never heard of them in my life. They got new names and names I've never heard of and medications I've never heard of. And then they got the 20 side effects. And it usually says that that's not all of them, you know. And don't misunderstand me. If you need a medication, get it. I'm just saying, healing, I'm believing for hell. I'm believing for healing. And don't misunderstand me. If you're struggling with something, I'm not telling you to give up your medication. I'm saying get in the Word, and pretty soon your body will start rejecting the medication because God's Word can bring the healing to your life. You know what I mean? I don't think medication keeps you from getting healed. Some people will say that. I don't believe that. I believe that the Word of God will bring me to a place of health and healing. And my body will reject the medicine because I won't need it, right? And so I just want you, and I use healing, and I use, because I don't know about you and the world I live in. Those are two pretty important things, our health and money. Most of us, if we lost our job today, we wouldn't last long. But God's got Dean covered. Amen. He's got His needs met. I'm just saying, we need those things. We need resources in our life. We want health in our life. We want some good relationships. Amen. A few friends. We need those things. The Bible says He takes the solitary and puts them in families. He don't want you out there by yourself. You got to come on Wednesday night just to get one of Lori's hugs. I mean, because she hugs you like she cares. You know, some people. But Lori hugs you like she cares. And so, you know, you need some of those hugs like somebody cares. Because this world is what it is. You know, we need some love along the way. We need somebody to care. We need some friends. Amen. And God wants us to have that also. Amen. Let's stand. I made a commitment I was going to be done by 8:00.